Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Including us in your agenda. Thank you for opening our understanding to receive of you and from you. Thank you, Lord, for commissioning us as a people to steward and to superintend over your agenda on the face of the earth. Thank you, Father, for mercy. Thank you for grace and mercy that made us to be accepted in the beloved. Grace and mercy furnishes us with all the provisions we need, spirit, soul, and body, even circumstantial. Father, we honor you. We bless you. We praise you for all you are doing, and even for the greater things that you will yet do. We say, take all the praise, take all the glory, in Jesus' precious name. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. What an atmosphere. Glory to God. Tonight is a special night. I'm going to be sharing very briefly and making some strong declarations over us. But it's a special night because this is our last service here. So look around you. Appreciate the auditorium. I appreciate what God did here. Look around you. Ome kwalanga ome ozo ye. Ome kwalanga ome ozo ye. Give the Lord a song. Hallelujah. Now, hear this. In this auditorium, operating from here, we touched many nations of the world in different continents. We won hundreds of thousands of souls. In fact, we started counting from the month of May. How many do we have now? Over 125,000 from May. And so from January to May, we won almost same figure. So we won hundreds of thousands of souls from here. We saw many miracles. Miracles of healing, miracles of transformation, miracles of breakthroughs. People travel to different nations, doors opening to them. And we enjoyed so much grace. Dear Lord Jesus, overwhelming grace. So much ease, so much rest. We never had to kneel down to pray for money. We never had to kneel down to pray for anything.
as the need arises and you speak forth, God just goes to work. But you see, growth necessitates that we migrate. Because of the security nature of this environment, the sensitive nature of this place, we knew our stay would not be long. For instance, we can't do overflows, we can't put microphones, speakers outside, we can't have LED screens, we can't stretch ourselves. And so we had to use a lot of wisdom to coordinate events here. And so it's time for us to leave. Praise God. And so first of all, we want to thank the Lord for our host. They've been nice to us. There are hitches you face, but it's understandable because of growth. But you see, many times we leave our equipment here for days. We don't even have to pull down to set up again. You know, and then we had rest, we had God bless us. And so we are going to bless the facility managers, that God will prosper them, at least for having us here, hosting us, harboring us for this 1 year and few weeks. That as we depart from here, the Lord will prosper the business and they will become greater in what they do. Because if it were not for their understanding, we wouldn't have a roof over us. Praise God. And then we are going to be thanking the Lord for the great things He did with us while we stayed here, trusting Him even for greater things. Are we together? So lift your hands toward heaven and bless the management of this facility. Ask that God will bless them, that God would increase them, that God will open their understanding to know Him more, and God will bless the works of their hands to prosper even in this business. As you are doing that, also thank the Lord for the time that we had here. Bless the name of the Lord. It's so difficult to come here. Transportation is so hard. You are having difficulty with maps. You are having difficulty getting means out of this place. But God was faithful, and He has been faithful. Just go ahead and bless His name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for rest. Thank you for peace. Thank you for breakthroughs. Thank you for miracles. Thank you for transformations. Thank you for the many numerous things you did. Thank you for the souls that were won. Thank you for the visibility. Thank you, Lord, for the partners that you touch day and night to keep giving, to keep praying. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. We praise you. We glorify your name. Oh, dear Lord. Ome kwalanga ove ozo ye. Ome kwalanga ove ozo ye. Out of minute. Somebody give the Lord a shout! Shout glory! You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Now, because of the elections, we understand that things can be volatile. We are praying. We are watching in the spirit. But of course, we are not all at the same faith level. And so when you are dealing with a multitude, you create structures and policies that accommodate the least amongst the people. And so for that, we are not just going to operate at the blazing level of faith. I know there are some of you here who bilocate. It happens, it's natural to you. But there are some who trek. And they trek from Kubwa. Some use public transport from Mararaba. And some come from Gwagwalada. And because our meetings are evening meetings, we don't want a situation where somebody who has not attained the high realms of the ladder of faith to be victimized. Somebody who has not built discernment, who would stand up and the Holy Ghost says, stay at home. He won't know. He go by Z. Because we know such things can exist. We are deciding to do a brief shutdown to monitor how the elections will go while we are yet praying. And so for the next 2 weeks, for our services, we'll be broadcasting from the studios. And so you can connect to all the handles. It's important you connect. If you have not subscribed, do that now. Because we'll be beaming from the studios. We'll watch the presidential elections. And then we'll see how it goes for the next 2 weeks. If things go as planned, as I teach you tonight, you are going to notice some things. Prophetic utterances can go forth, but there are many factors when you are dealing with a nation. God told the Israelites in 2 Kings chapter 3 from verse 18, he said, you will utterly destroy the Moabites. But the Bible said from verse 26 and 27 that the king saw that when he tried to break through the garrison of the Israelites, he couldn't. So he took his first son, who was the heir, and slammed him on the wall and made an oblation to God. And he said, instantly there was indignation against Israel. Even though God spoke, they ran from the battle. So, when you are dealing with national issues, there are many integers, like sacrifices. So, a lot of balance is needed. So, while we are doing priesthood and sacrifice, and also formulating strategies for the hand of God and the purpose of God to prevail, we are also going to take cautionary measures to ensure that we don't have casualties at the end of the day. Are we together? To this end, we'll go on the 2 weeks on site break and we'll be beaming the services from the studios. If things go as planned, then we will announce our resumption and then we'll announce our meeting point. And I'm saying that because our 2,000 sit-out would have been completed. We took trailer loads of laterite and stuff to the site. And then when they saw the magnitude of work we wanted to do, a lot of forces came in again. He said, no, you are not supposed to build something this big here. So many conversations came in, and we needed to cushion the effect. I was told there's a language they speak there. So we are trying to sort that out. If that is sorted out, then we can complete that phase of the assignment before resumption. But in case we are not able to sort that out, there will be an interim arrangement where we can fellowship until we sort it out, and then we are able to do what the Lord has put in our hearts to do. You know, the thing with spiritual structures is that patterns are given. You don't just build what is convenient. You build according to patterns. And so we push on that end. We are already making contacts by reason of favor, by reason of mercy, by reason of influence, and the communications are already ongoing. So if we achieve that and we are able to do that before the resumption, that will be done. But in case we are not, we will not put ourselves under pressure. In this kingdom walk, you don't pressure yourself. You will die. If you pressure yourself, you what? You will die. So function from the place of rest. If we have to become human and do everything men do to do it, we'll wait. We'll pray. Because it has to be the God way. So, all of that will be put in place and communications will be effectively put across. So, for the next 2 weeks, we'll not have services here. That is Monday, Tuesday, and Sunday. I'm repeating it. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Sundays. Let me check the date. We'll not have service here. At least the whole of February, we'll not have service here. But before the first Sunday in March, we'll send you information to know how we manage that. And so, for those of you that are transported from different locations, at the end of the service, be patient. We are going to have captains. Captains who will communicate with you and see how smooth transition will be achieved. And then for those of you that have means to connect directly and come in, you follow us on the handles as you see periodic updates. Now, to make our communications very effective, we are not just relying on Facebook and YouTube anymore. We had a website that was running just to augment for some of the things we do, but we are launching a more thorough website now. As I'm talking now, it has gone up. It's www.encounterjesusministries.org. If you type it on your, write it down, don't distract yourself now. Is the ministry name, encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. If you type it, you are going to see some glorious pictures. And there you have updates. Before we resume also, we are going to release an app. On that app, you have broadcast from us, and then we'll give opportunity to people who will be needing prayers, 24-hour communications, so that we can interface you, pray, and counsel with you as need may arise, and then materials will also be uploaded. What we are actually hoping to do in the nearest future is not to depend on anybody, to run our stuff ourselves, because the world is dangerous. We are approaching that point where they would like to strangle everything that has to do with Jesus. And so we thank God for YouTube and Facebook, but very soon we will migrate from it and build a community, a spiritual community in the virtual world, where we have the autonomy to control and to regulate what happens. And so the website is up. As you click on it, you will find it. You can put it on the screen. Let them see it. The website is up, but the app will come up upon resumption. And so we'll keep interfacing and communicating like that to help us fully integrated and to stay updated and abreast with everything happening here. And so that is the update. Now, let's lift our hands towards heaven one more time. Sit down and tell the Lord to speak to you tonight. I'll be speaking shortly tonight because I want us to spend time to dance and to thank the Lord. It's one phase. This phase we are in takes some people 10 years. God has shown us mercy. We run crusade virtually on a weekly basis. I tell you, they read in millions. You don't want to see the figures. They read in millions. Every outreach, every crusade. And the crusades we run are global standard. Because we are a kingly tribe. And so excellence is of top priority. Those things run in very strange figures. What has been from the place of rest. And so by the time we round up tonight, we will spend time to dance and thank God. I'll make some declarations over you. So lift your hands one more time and tell the Lord to talk to you. Elohim Adonai. 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 We bless you. Again, we say, let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated. I want to round up a series we started some weeks ago, The Doctrine of Power. And so tonight, I'll be doing Doctrine of Power, Part 4. The reason we teach what we teach is not just because we want to have a series. The nature of teaching in the last day is to equip the believer. Because we've come to that phase and that level where Christianity cannot be a thing you do hiding in a congregation. Our battles are personal. Our battles are individualistic. Most times, the matters we contend with don't find us while we are in a congregation. They meet us while we are in the market. They meet us while we are traveling. They meet us while we go about our daily activities. So it's important for us to have sufficient equipping to provoke response at any time the devil comes. The Bible said the devil is roaming like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. And the Bible also goes further to say there's an evil day for every man. But like I taught you before, your evil day becomes the day of your testimony if you know what to do. Because they say if you faint in the day of trouble, it's not because God is not readily available. It's actually because your strength is little. And so one of the equipping that you need in order to live a victorious life is the equipping of power. And so I taught you and I told you that Jesus had many things to offer us. And when you study the gospel, you are going to discover there are many things Jesus is to us. He's our righteousness. He's our life. He's our wisdom. Jesus represents many things to us. But when the Holy Ghost was coming, there is one thing that stood out. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. It's to draw your attention to the need of power or the need for power as you walk through life. In fact, some of the engagements we have reveal to us the peril that men go through. When you go out for crusades, you go out for outreaches, you see strange things. In the last crusade we just had, a man showed up and said he was shot in 1968. Imagine carrying bullets since 1968. You don't have money to operate it and you can't walk well. That's over 40 years. 40 years of pain. If we took a census here, less than 20% of us are 40. So a man has been in pain since the day you were born. But because of power, suddenly, the effect and the impact of the bullet vanished. He said, no, I won't rush out to testify. This will be emotional. He went home. When he saw that for 24 hours, what happened to him was constant, he couldn't hold his peace. And so he showed up the next day, dancing and celebrating. The other day, we went for a crusade in Kobe Makaranta. And a man showed up of about 40, 42 years. And he said his uncle slapped him when he was a boy, over 30 years ago. And he became deaf on the right ear. And so his life was almost destroyed by a demonic slap. But because we didn't come to speak English, like the brother said, there was something power did that the ear opened. So he is beginning to enjoy his life for the first time in 30 years. Such are the pains and peril that men go through. And anybody will be a victim except as power becomes part of his everyday living. This is why Paul, speaking in 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 1, he said, I, Paul, when I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. He said, when I was with you, I chose to know nothing save Christ and him crucified. I was with you in fear and in trembling. He said, but my preaching and my teaching, they were not with enticing words of human wisdom. He said, they were the demonstrations of spirit and of power, that your faith may not be built in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so faith must stand in power in order to engender deliverance. And you remember the Bible said the just shall live by faith. So every day we live by faith, we actually live by power. And so 1 Corinthians 4:20 said, the kingdom of God is not words, it is power. And so if a believer is void of power, that's a victim waiting for the day the prey will manifest. But a believer who carries power and knows how to operate it, that believer is actually a victorious envoy. The devil knows such and usually would avoid them. And so in order to understand the dynamics of power, we spelled out two things. Number one, we define the different kinds of power. And if you have been following the teaching, you will know that there are four categories of power. The first kind of power we mentioned is the power that brings preeminence, that brings influence. We call it Alke. And it's in Luke chapter 20, verse 20. If you operate this kind of power, there is a level of influence and visibility you will enjoy that will make you relevant to your generation, the devil's presence notwithstanding. That is a dimension of power. And then we also spoke about executive kind of power, the power that makes you wield authority like one who is enthroned. And we said executive power is twofold. The first one is called exousia. And exousia is an executive power that is delegated. And so for you to walk exousia, you need to have revelational knowledge of who you are in Christ. And we said the second dimension of executive power is called iskus. And we said iskus is operational when you are under authority. For when your obedience is fulfilled, then you will avenge your disobedience. And so in operating executive power, you need revelation to operate exousia, and then you need to stay under government to operate iskus. So one is revelation, the other is obedience. And then we said there is a third kind of power, which is the power that creates change. This one is ability kind of power. And we said there are two of them. The first is what? Dunamis. And the second is what? Kratos. We said dunamis works when you pray through, because you need to charge yourself in order to have ability. No matter how strong you are, if you have not eaten for 8 days, for 14 days, you will be weak. And if they don't give you food for 30 days, even a child will beat you. You may be a giant. In fact, your muscles will become a weight to you. You will notice your hand becomes heavy. You can't carry it. So the power will become a body, except as you eat. And so what happens to you when you walk dunamis is that you must be charged. They say building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you charge yourself, then the ability to do comes upon you. So that kind of power operates when you pray through. And then we said the second kind of power that creates change is called Kratos. And we say Kratos is a function of not just praying through, but praying consistently. Because this one has to do with time. If I pray for 10 hours, all of my elements will be awakened. And I can walk out, cast out devils, open deaf ears, and I will be bubbling. The more I manifest, the more I will charge. If you notice, when you are preaching and dynamics is at work, a point will come, you will literally be charging. You want to explode. That's why sometimes because you need to share it so you don't rupture. At that point, if you blow on somebody, he will fall down. There is voltage. Voltage is streaming out of you. It's called dynamics. Changes will be happening. In fact, sometimes the radar becomes so strong that when you walk past people, they will fall down. And they will not just fall. As they fall down, things will leave their body. It's the ability to create change. You pray through to walk it. And this is why every time you pray and pray through, you will notice that even the elementaries of your body, the molecular structure will be bubbling. It's power. It's a power that creates change. But there's another type that is consistent. It's in consistency. You are just praying every day and you are building up. You are building up. This one has to do with energy level. You don't pray through, you don't charge. But every day you energize yourself, you go to a higher energy level. And so when you start operating at a higher energy level, certain things will respond to you, whether you are ready or not. If we go out now to preach, there are some persons that they will pray in tongues for 10 hours. And some other persons will come from a busy work, a busy schedule. The person who came from a busy schedule can manifest more than the person who prayed for 10 hours. Let me give you a graphic example. If I pray in tongues for 70 hours now, and I walk to a place, I can see deaf ears open, I can see blind eyes open, I can see people that have maybe one or two people who are crippled will walk, and some things, growth must vanish. That one must happen. It will vanish. I've entered that energy level. No matter how big, it will vanish. But you see, even if Pastor Chris has not prayed for 1 week, if he walks into a place, everything that I do in 2 hours will happen in 1 minute. You know the difference? It's energy level. He has prayed for more than 40 years. So he has the healing anointing. I have the healing anointing. But our energy level is different. Are you understanding? Because he has a track record of consistency in prayer and meditation. And so a crusade that Pastor Chris walks into without prayer will be more powerful than the crusade I walk into from the mountain for 40 days. There is nothing I can do about it. That one will take time. I will pray for many years before I enter there. It's called energy level. The other time we went to the Black Star Square in Ghana. We were just wandering and prophesying. when we will come to Ghana and pack this place out for Jesus. The person that went with us now told us, 4 years ago, Pastor Chris came here for a crusade. And they choose here because it's an open field. He said, however, they had two overflows. The first overflow is across the road, which is in the stadium. The second overflow is in their theater. They said the moment Pastor Chris walked in, 4 cripples stood up. He has not started praying. He just walked in. The glory he came in with activated 4 cripples. They stood up. Now, if I enter a crusade and 4 cripples rise, we will have to put it in a museum. It will be for eternity. We will keep it for... Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Do you know why we are teaching you this? You can go to the prayer room and pray in tongues for 1 hour. You won't feel anything. Don't feel bad. You may not feel it, but something happened. You are growing in energy level. If you do that for 6 months, some of the things that will be happening to you casually, some people will need to fast to walk in it. I can walk to a crusade now. The last crusade we had, I preached for 1 day. And I was busy from morning till 6. In fact, I got home 6:40, rushed, showered, and entered the meeting. When I was done preaching, I said, Jesus, lumps vanished. Some of the testimonies you saw here, they were manifestations that came when I didn't pray. Because I've entered the energy level of dematerializing growth. I don't need prayer for that to happen. It's called what? Kratos. You build it over time. But there are other things that no matter how much I pray, I will be telling God, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Any day happens. It's called what? The doctrine of power. Power is not the same. There are different dimensions. There is a dimension that takes prayer, praying through. And there's a dimension that takes praying consistently. There's a dimension that takes revelation, and there's a dimension that takes obedience. If you don't know all of these kinds of power, you may think it's the same. That's why you can have revelation and you may never command certain results. Because your revelation can cause you to walk in exousia, but there is iskus. That's why you can pray through and walk miracle today. Tomorrow you will see another miracle. Because if you are walking by dynamics, you must pray through all the time to see manifestation. But when you have entered the realm of Kratos, even when you don't pray, whereas you need to pray, but in case you don't pray for legitimate reasons, results will still abound because you have entered a higher energy level. And so there's a power that confers influence, preeminence. There's a power that confers executive authority. There's a power that gives you the ability to create change. And finally, we say there's a power that compels compliance. It's called anakazo. Anakazo. You can come to a place and preach and the dead will rise. The drunkard will go drunk because there are different kinds of power. Have you gone for meetings before where miracles are happening everywhere? 10 blind eyes open, 4 cripples. But people, they are not feeling God. They see the miracles, they say, wow, this is great. But they can't feel God. And so even though the dead rise, cripples walk, the sinner will go back in sin. The liar will be a liar. Because that type of power is different. Anakazo is a compelling power. And the other places you go to, people are weeping and crying, but no deaf ear opens. That is because they have not been taught the full syllables of power. So in addition to the executive power, the power that creates change, and the power that confers influence, there is a power we must have if we win this war. That power is called anakazo. That is the power the Bible speaks of when it said, in the last day, the house of the Lord shall be upon the mountains of God. And it said, men of all nations shall go to him and say, teach us the way of the Lord. For out of Zion proceeds the law. It's a comparing power. That kind of power, if you have it, when you talk, the heart of men will burn. The guys walking to Emmaus, they said, did our hearts not burn when he spoke? There was no miracle, but there was transformation. It's called anakazo. When you hear it, you can't stop. That type of power was the power Jesus used to select his disciples. He walked to the seaside and saw some brothers fishing. Say, follow me. And they forgot their occupation and followed him. He went to the tax collector. The tax collector's job is the most lucrative job in the then world. But there was a man of anakazo. He walked to Matthew and said, follow me. And these people don't even have the courtesy to say, let's go and resign. They leave everything there and follow. Following and not looking back because of anakazo. When Jesus is speaking, people weep. People repent. Another person that wielded that power so much was John the Baptist. The Bible says he was in the wilderness. As he cried there, the whole Jerusalem and Judea went to him. And when you hear him, you repent. You can't hear John and go back to your sin. Another man that wielded that power is called Jonah. The Bible says when Jonah entered Nineveh and lamented over the city, the king tore his clothes. Even animals were forced to fast because of the weight of compelling power that the man brought into the city. But an acaso, you don't get it by revelation. You get it by staying under the cloud. It's a power that comes upon you as you stay in God's presence. The more you are transformed, the more you can transform. So you have to stay in God's presence to build that kind of power. A man who wants to walk in an acaso is a man that carries the presence of God everywhere he goes to. Because that presence of God is what transforms the soul of man. And so when you are talking, there's an energy that travels with your utterances and prick the heart of man. When Peter spoke, they didn't say his words were clever. They said their hearts were pricked. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? If you don't operate this fourth dimension of power, you can't have victory in life. And so as we are looking at the doctrine of power, we've been able to explain and expatiate some of the forces of scripture that helps you to walk in this power. We have dealt with prayer that creates the power to cause change. We have dealt with the word that creates the power that confers executive authority. We have dealt with virtue last week Tuesday as a basis of walking in the power that brings influence. We looked at brokenness. Because when a man is humble, it is God that exalts his horn. He said, God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. So when a man wants to grow in influence in God, it's brokenness that confesses it, not revelation. Number two, we looked at love. He said, lovest thou me more than this. John chapter 15, verse chapter what? Chapter 21, verse 15 and 16. Lovest thou me more than this. He said, Lord, you know, he said, keep my lamb. So we saw love. And we also saw purity. Joseph had purity. Genesis 39 verse 9. How can I do this evil and sin against God? The Bible says until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And the king made him ruler of his substance to bind his princes as his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. So he became prime minister in Egypt. But what he held on to was the scepter of purity. Even Daniel that was in Babylon, he said, we will not defy ourselves. Daniel 1:8, with the portion of meat that is from the king's table. And so when a man is walking in purity, that power that brings influence is conferred upon him. When a man is walking in humility, that power that confers influence is conferred upon him. When a man is walking in love, that power that confers influence is conferred upon him. And finally, we spoke about the fear of the Lord. When you have the fear of the Lord, God gives you influence. 1 Samuel 2:30. He said, him that honors me, I will honor. He said, but him that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. And so, we looked at Alkali last week Sunday. Tonight, I want to add some muscle. That was a recap. Sorry, I was fast. If you have been following the Bible study, it will make sense to you. But if you haven't, get the tip. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Raberahila. Elohim Adonai. Because of time, sit down. Tonight, what I want to teach will give you grace to walk in all the dimensions of power. And I'm teaching it because I'm rounding up. If I have time next time, when next I have time, I will now teach on an acaso. But because I don't have time, I want to summarize with a dimension that will help you walk in all the powers. You know, when you go to see a doctor and you have a problem, if they don't have time to properly diagnose you, they will give you general purpose antibiotics. Is that what you call it? How do you call it? Broad spectrum antibiotics. That one can touch anything. So let's do broad spectrum. Broad spectrum dimension of power. So this one is doctrine of power by spiritual elements. Elements, spiritual elements that works power. And the first we'll look at tonight is sacrifice. Make no mistakes about it. If you understand what I'm teaching now and walk it, you can walk in all the dimensions of power. Remember, you need revelation to walk in exousia. You need obedience to walk in iskus. You need to pray through to walk in dunamis. You need to pray consistently to walk in kratos. Are you following? You need to operate in virtue to operate in alke. And you need to stay in God's presence to walk in anakazo. But just in case you are deficient in any of these, here is a broad spectrum reality. If you apply this one, when there is need for dunamis, dunamis will work. But don't depend only on this. Still make sure you go deep. Is that okay? But in case you have not gone deep yet, take broad spectrum diagnosis. Tonight I'm a spiritual doctor. The doctrine of power. And see, this thing is important. Many Christians are in pain. The reason you see Christians not rebelling is because they honor God. There are many Christians lamenting, some full of questions, some murmuring. They don't know why. He said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. If you know what to do and apply yourself to it, your questions will end. I used to ask questions. And even now, there are some areas I still ask questions. But when you ask questions reverently, your goal is to find out how it works. And I want to show you some things that make things to work. It will so work that you will not be able to explain it, but it will be working. So you will hold the result while you are learning the explanation. Are we together? So the first spiritual element, or the first force of the spirit that causes you to walk in all of the dimensions of power, is called sacrifice. Psalm 126. Now, the reason these factors work is because it is God's sovereignty that permits you to walk in them. And so when you begin to engage these things, when there is a particular need for a particular dimension, if it is deficient in you, God's sovereignty will overrule and it will work. So these things I'm teaching you, they release the sovereignty of God. Psalm 126, look at verse 1 to verse 6. I want us to read the whole scripture. It will give background to what I want to share. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, he said, we were like them that dream. Now, if you notice from this scripture, it's the sovereignty of God at work. But you also know that if a man is in captivity, he may need dunamis, he may need exousia, he may need kratos, he may need iskus, he may need anakazo. But in this case, they didn't specify. It became broad spectrum because it is the sovereignty of God at work. God was the one who turned the captivity. He said, we were like them that drink. That means the people themselves were shocked. But they didn't bother much about the shock, because when you go next, they were enjoying the blessings of God. He said, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said among the heathen. Are you seeing that this power was famed? It was famous that the heathen heard. That's okay. What happened did not happen in hiding. The exploit of God in their midst was so much that even the heathen heard. And they said, they knew that these people didn't have competence in the spirit to be able to provoke this kind of manifestation. And so what the heathen said revealed to us that even the heathen knew how these things happened. He said, the Lord had done great things for them. Go to the next verse. He now began to show you some dynamics. He said, the Lord had done great things for us. Even we acknowledge. He said, wherefore we are glad. But in order for you not to remain in the dark, he began to show you what happened before God turned their captivity around. And in verse 4, here's what the Bible said. He said, turn again our captivity. Do what you did again. Because it's not a fluke. It can happen again and again. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. How does God turn again? When they said turn again, they showed us what they did that made God to turn again. And they said something. He said, they that sow in tears, they shall reap in joy. So the reason their mouth was full of laughter was because they engaged sacrifice. If you read verse 1 to verse 4, you would think it's a spontaneous thing that happened. I tell you many times, not all scriptures are to be quoted. Some scriptures are to be practiced. God turned our captivity. Our mouth was full of laughter. God turned that captivity again. But how does it happen? they that sow in tears. He said, they shall reap in joy. Go to the next verse. He said, he that goeth forth and weepeth. That weeping is showing you that he sacrificed. He said, him that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so what releases the sovereign power of God that turns a man's total captivity until his mouth is full of laughter is not a scripture you quote by revelation. It's a sacrifice that you engage on the altar. He said, when you sow with tears, it is that sowing with tears that activates and releases that power of God. And in order for you to know that it's not a fluke, the Bible gives us here and there few men who sowed with tears. In fact, when God wants to release this power in your direction, God will try your heart. Because it's a kind of power that is so heavy, it is sacrifice alone that can provoke it. In Genesis chapter 22, from verse 1, hear what the Bible said. It said, and God tried Abraham. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, and Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. Go forward. He is trying to show Abraham how to walk in all power. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. He said, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will show thee. See, it's not every power you operate in by quoting scriptures. Many Christians are fake. They pick one scripture from somebody's testimony and begin to quote it. Ask the person what he did. In order for you to walk in absolute assurance, you must master the way of sacrifice. The way of sacrifice is the way of immortals. Any man that wants his dynasty to be immortalized on the face of the earth must learn quickly the language of sacrifice. Because you cannot walk and keep pace with God until you understand this. This is how God lives. In fact, in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is the way of God. The way of God is the way of sacrifice. And so anybody who wants to function like God must master this. This is what causes the mouth of men to be full of laughter. And this is what brings men from all captivity. The goal of power is to bring you out of captivity. And this is the one thing you do that makes you step out of all captivity and begin to advance the purpose of God on the face of the earth. When Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, God swore to him. He said, now I have sworn to you by myself. I have sworn. Sovereignty has now been committed to Abraham. And so Abraham doesn't need to pray to dominate. The reason Abraham would dominate now is because God has sworn to him. He said, in blessings I will bless you, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And so any man who understands sacrifice will have God's eternal faithfulness and allegiance. And on the strength of that, if he prays, it's good. Even if he doesn't pray, he will walk in power. Because Abraham doesn't need prayer to walk in power anymore. God swore to him. This is why Abraham and his sons, anything they do works. A point came, Isaac wanted to run to Egypt in Genesis 26. He says, stay still in Gerar. Your prosperity is not tied to a location. Now, don't get it wrong. There are certain prosperities that are tied to location. That's why God sends men to location. But anybody who has entered power through sacrifice, he defies location and prospers. Your own prosperity, others can go to Egypt, but your own prosperity is not tied to a location. He said, in this same land, I will bless you. And he said, Isaac sowed in that land. And in the same year, he reaped a hundredfold harvest. And the Bible said something. The Philistines came to him and said, go away from us. You are bigger than us. How can one man be bigger than a nation? You are bigger than us. Go from us. Isaac dug a well. They seized it. He left them. The well dried. He dug another well. They seized it. He left it. The well dried. Until a point came, they now discovered it's not about the well, it's about the man. And so the third well he dug, they left him. He now called it Rehoboth. I've come to my rest. These people now have gained understanding. Because it's not about the location, it's about who is walking. But what conferred this level of authority upon them was the mystery of sacrifice. There are too many Christians who are too selfish and self-centered to engage the altar of sacrifice. In 1 Kings chapter 3, from verse 3, we saw another man who walked in this power. His name is called Solomon. They made him king. He was a young man. In fact, if you read 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 6, 7, and 8, Solomon gave an assessment of himself. He said, I am but a child. I know not my right from my left. That is an assessment, a self-assessment. I am a child. But he knew something. It's called sacrifice. And the Bible said, Solomon gave a burnt offering of 1,000 cows. One man gave that offering. God couldn't wait for him to pray. It was God who showed up and said, ask what you want. There are those who pray, but those who sacrifice, I meet them. Ask what you want. See, Christians are traveling everywhere looking for people to pray for them, looking for people to lay hands on them. All of that is good, but at a level you can't enter until you begin to engage certain mysteries for yourself. Solomon was the son of David. He had blessings on his head, but for him to reign, which is the archaic dimension of power, he needs something much more than what David gave him. So he had to excavate it himself through sacrifice. And when Solomon gave a sacrifice of 1,000 burnt offering, God showed up and gave him a blank check. What do you want? I will give you whatever you want. And Solomon said, give me wisdom that I may govern these people. God said, because you didn't ask for money or for the lives of your enemies. The guy was asking for what he needs, but because of sacrifice, God was looking for a way to bless him. Even the ones you didn't ask for, I have given to you. When you are praying, you will need intelligence in prayer to get results. But when you are sacrificing, even your ignorance, God will use it as an excuse to bless you. You didn't ask for wealth. You didn't ask for the life of your enemy. Even that one, I have given to you. And in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible said, of all the kings of the earth, he said there was none wiser than Solomon. He said men came to him from all around the world. What level of fame and authority is that? You don't read book to operate like that. It is sacrifice that confers that level of authority on a man. Listen, there is much wisdom can do for you. But if you don't have sacrifice, there are many dimensions you will never step into. There are too many powers that negates the prosperity and the progress of men. And so if you want to be superlatively and supernaturally powerful, you need to understand the way of sacrifice. That little thing you are keeping will take you nowhere. It will finish. It will finish in no time. Do you know why some of us don't teach this thing? When you are teaching this thing, many people are babes. They will hear you and say, they want to demand something now. So you think we were hoping on you before we started what we are doing. Where did we know you from? So you think we came to Abuja because of you? Have I heard of you? We don't even ask people, what do you do? It is infantile Christianity. You think what we are doing is not God we are trusting, it's a man. There's no man that big on it. The Bible says, woe unto him that put his trust in the arm of flesh. Flesh fails. Anybody who starts ministry or any worthwhile venture trusting a man was not called. I was telling my wife, we didn't start ministry out of necessity. We were called into it. And we trust God absolutely to venture out. But Christians are infantile. When you are teaching what to help them, they think you want to ask them for something. Meanwhile, many times, it's the weak and the poor that think that way. When you ask people who are already making impact, they don't need you to convince them. They don't need it. Last week, I just stood here and I said, give your Isaac. There was no message. In 24 hours, two people brought two cars. One brought a Highlander Jeep. Two cars. And when I looked at them, the first one that came, as I wanted to pray, God said, he has passed the test. Tell him to go back with his car. I said, God said, you have passed the test. You have been promoted. Go back with your car. I came back in the evening. Another woman showed up with the Highlander. When I looked at her, God didn't speak, but compassion didn't let me take it. That's the only car she has. That's the car she uses for evangelism. And she's a minister.
I said, no. God has seen your heart. You are blessed.
Everything you are supposed to merit on account of this sacrifice, you have it. But go with your car. Nobody is looking for. If we tell you our blessings, we run. It's for security reasons. We don't talk. You think a man of God is doing well? No visionary person is doing well because of one man. Go and ask. They know things. And those things they apply is what makes them rise. That same day that I rejected those two cars, somebody gave me a G-Wagon. He can buy 30 of the cars that they gave me. And that person has never come here for service once. Never. He has never attended one service. And there's nothing you give me for mission that I keep. Even my own, I don't eat it. For the past 1 year, I don't have the savings. Every money that comes goes into the kingdom. We are too secured in God. Too secured. And so when these things are taught you, it's for your good. You see, as the wind bloweth where it listeth, it said, thou knowest not where it goeth or where it cometh. See, so are they that are born by the Spirit. We are supposed to be a wonder to our generation. But we don't know the codes to press in the Spirit. Check the patriarchs. If you study the Bible, Acts chapter 10, from verse 1 to 4, there was a man who didn't qualify for blessing, but sacrifice qualified him. Jesus himself said, I have come to save only the household of the Israelites. It's the Jews I came for. While the disciples were still struggling with doctrine, is it right for the Gentile to hear? Is it right for the Gentile to receive salvation? No, there is salvation. They were still battling with doctrine. A man through sacrifice entered. The Bible says Cornelius is of the Italian band. He said the man's prayer and his almsgiving ascended to heaven as a memorial. And so God was moved to send an angel and said to him, go to a city and find the one called Peter. He is living with another Simon called the Tanner. He will come to tell you the words of this life. While Peter was struggling, a revelation appeared to him. Rise up, kill and eat. Imagine the protocol that sacrifice put in motion. He didn't qualify. An angel was released to a man who didn't qualify. The person he was supposed to invite was not going to be willing to come. God appeared to him 3 times. Don't call what I have blessed unclean. Rise up, kill. He refused 3 times. God still didn't stop. He said, there are 2 men waiting for you. Go with them. Since your revelation gap won't let you obey, now I command you by sovereignty. Go with them. That is sacrifice, the power of sacrifice speaking. And the man stood up. Peter stood up, followed them. He came into the house. He was still wondering whether he should pull his shoes or wash his hand. What is he doing here? What will the other disciples say? They will say, Peter has gone into the Gentile. Before he started talking, he said, while I was here talking, the Holy Ghost fell on them. So God was looking for an excuse to bless the man. And nothing will stop God from doing it. And there's another Christian praying all night, nakedly herself and praying by 12. What is the big deal about your nakedness? Is it not God that created you? He has seen you before. So clothe yourself and do what you need. You are going to meet your creator naked. He has seen you before. So what are you doing? Go and do what the scripture says. Infant Christianity. And I'm not despising praying naked. Because there are those who are at that level. That's how their faith is released. Keep doing it until you grow up. But there is a more excellent way. There are higher realms of operation. How many times does your pastor go to pray naked by 12? There are forces in the spirit that we know. And when we touch those things, we know that nothing can stop us. This is how your faith is trained. There are certain sacrifices you give. Listen, there's no sacrifice superior to the sacrifice of Jesus. But when God allows us to do these things, it's a way of training our faith. Because it's not only revelation that will train your faith. As you give these sacrifices, when you give certain things, you will die to those things. And so your faith enters a level of maturity. And that faith begins to wield and command powers that revelation would never have brought you into. You want to walk in power? Sacrifice must be your life. Go and study the life of Abraham. Everywhere he passed through was littered with altars. You may not find Abraham's tent, but you must find his altars. The tent, the wind can take it, but the altar is eternal.
When Jacob traveled many years later, going to the house of Balaam, of Laban, it was the altar that Abraham erected that he fell upon. And the heavens were still open. Because anything sacrifice opens remain forever. In Psalm 112 from verse 1 to 3, it says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandment. He said, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Pleasures forevermore. When sacrifice opens something, it's eternal. That's why Jacob fell into a trance and saw open heaven by the reason of the altar that Abraham erected. The patriarchs knew it. This is how they lived their lives. But we are too self-centered. God doesn't need what you have. He's training your faith to receive all that he has offered you. I remember many years ago, while I was serving, my greatest asset was my phone. I went somewhere, and while the man of God was ministering, the Holy Ghost told me to drop the phone. What? I will not do that, Lord. Lord, I won't do this. Your mercy can cover for it. My heart became troubled. Church closed. Go home now. For where? I stood up. I went to the door. I came back. What is the meaning of this, Lord? He saw tomorrow. He saw. He said, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are running projects today in millions. There's no way I would have raised that money. God saw it. So I bought today with the phone yesterday. People don't have understanding. You see somebody doing something with rest. You say, me too, I can do it. Find out the weight of his altar. Some of the things happening today were purchased 10 years ago. Because the Holy Ghost guided you through divine wisdom. And caused you to do things that made the heavens open for you. And then you run into and collided with somebody. And you think you are mates. You are a joker. Nothing happens here by chance. Everything happening is worked. It's worked. And so when you see men wielding power, find out the secrets they know and what they engage and how early they understood it and engaged it. I dropped the phone. I dropped my shoe as I was about going. He said, that Allah you received yesterday, drop it too. He knew if he said Allah and phone, I would have run home. So he started with where my faith could handle. I drop phone. He said, drop shoe. I drop shoe. I drop what? He said, do that Allah yesterday. Do that transfer before you off the phone. And trust me, after dropping it, I kept dropping all the Allah till I left service. My friends were saving money that they will start pottery farm. They will start pottery. And I asked God, now that I don't have any plan, what will happen in the first 6 months when I don't have job? A finite man is asking Alpha Omega questions. The one who is in tomorrow is the one you are asking about tomorrow. You think he's not there before he gave the commandment now. Drop that thing there and forget tomorrow. Because I live, you shall see tomorrow. The power of sacrifice. You'll tell people, there's no spirit that does not understand the language of sacrifice. Both in light and in darkness. Both in light and in darkness. You want to wield power? You must learn it. You must learn it. Every global force in scripture was a creature of sacrifice. Abraham sacrificed until he sacrificed Isaac. He became the father of many nations. Solomon was the wisest of all men that lived in his generation. He gave a 1,000 burnt offering to enter that dimension. You can't operate like that. See, the mighty don't ask God for power. They don't even ask God for wealth. They pass the test of sacrifice. The moment you pass the test of sacrifice, influence and authority becomes the byproduct. That's how this kingdom works. In fact, David knew it so well. And David said, I think 1 Samuel 24:24, he said, I will not give God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. I must pay for this. I want to pay for this thing. That was the level of revelation the man had. They gave him the piece of land for free. He said, God forbid that I give God something that costs me nothing. And then you see David operating in escalated dimensions of power. And you think it's a gift? A man fought 66 battles and won all. In fact, a day came David's mighty men spoke to him and said, "You are greater than 10,000 of us." They knew they were skillful warriors, but they said, "David, you are more than 10,000." And it was not an exaggeration. Because of the foundation that he stood on. Too many mysteries securing him. You see people, things happening to them, all kinds of things. No, it ought not to be. He said, "The Lord will remember your offering and your sacrifice from the sanctuary. The Lord will remember." You think when God, he said, "A cattle upon 1,000 hills," he said, "They are mine." There are some persons, God talks to them for 1 year before they give a pin. It may take you 100 years before you start the journey of life. There are even preachers who preach it and don't do it. And it shows with time. You find them begging. They will send you a message, "God servant, it is well." The moment you see it is well, know what they are saying. "I am loaded." Okay, I understand. You are loaded in your heavenly bank account. They will send you text and say, they will try to prick your conscience. "We are missionaries. We are already in Yola. We have done this. We have gone to Maiduguri. Now we are about to go to Adamawa, and the Lord has need." Oh God, the Lord doesn't have need. The needs of it's you who have need. The Lord doesn't have need. Don't come and fight my conscience to put my, what do you mean the Lord has need? They will never engage the mysteries. Don't think for once that because you are serving God it will be easy. If you don't engage these mysteries, you will suffer. Sacrifice. This is one of the things missing in the lives of many Christians, and they are wondering. For more than 10 years now, the moment I have forsuits, I share. Sometimes friends who have worked with me for more than a decade, you'll see 20 people working with me, all of them are wearing my suit. I learned it not today. So I'm not teaching what I read in the book. Why we are building, doing what we are doing in Abuja here, I've given out cars. Not because I have too much. The other time, I gave out my last car to some of the people working with me. They were driving it. I would drive my wife's car. When she goes to work, I enter over. And the people working with me are driving the car. And they don't even take care of it. Things don't happen to people. People make things happen. And the secret of making things happening is to understand sacrifice. When you master it, your life becomes a wonder. I told you already, God himself said, a man and his race will be destroyed. 2 Kings 3:18 to 20. God himself said, and it's not a normal prophet that uttered it. It's a national prophet that uttered it. That the Moabite will be destroyed. And they went to battle and they were destroying them. But the man knew something. You know, David said, a contrite heart and a broken spirit. He said, God cannot reject it, for that is the sacrifices of God. So when God sees sacrifice, something happens to him. The man knew something that the Israelites who have the prophet didn't know. A sentence has been passed, they will be destroyed. He carried the sword. The Bible called him the heir to his throne, slammed into the wall. He said, indignation. So I was asking the question. I said, God, were you not the one who sent them to the wall? Were you not the one who spoke through the prophet? If you were in those days, you would say, oh, this prophet is a fake prophet. He sent us to our death. No, sacrifice uttered it. God spoke. His prophet uttered it. They were winning the battle until sacrifice came in to change the balance. And the moment he slammed the sword, he said there was indignation against Israel. Find out people making impact today. They will tell you how many days they didn't eat, how many days and how many times they gave their all. And then you look at their manifestation. You are quoting and reciting it. It is mine. I receive it. Abraham's blessings are mine. Have you offered Isaac before? Abraham's blessings are mine. Have you offered Isaac before? Did you know that Abraham's blessing came by an oath after he crossed the altar of Isaac? You kept your Isaac hidden and you are trying to take Abraham's blessing. No, it doesn't work like that. It begins with sacrifice. That's how men wield power in this kingdom. There's nobody working with a spirit and operating in power that doesn't know sacrifice. Sometimes God will get you to sacrifice until you will look foolish. Bishop Oyedepo said when they were in one room, there were seven of them. One room. There were seven in one room. Everybody will wake up and shower before 5 and leave the house. If you have guests or you have anything to do in the room, let it finish before 4. Because by 4, the room becomes the common room. And you look at them today, they have buildings. In fact, you hardly find a small living faith church. And you now come, you are making declaration. My dimension will be bigger than this. For the future is better than the past. You are the one who is calling what is future and what is past. You better check where. You don't know sacrifice. You can never operate in power. It doesn't work like that. Praise God. Now, when you start mastering sacrifice, God now moves it to covenant. That's the second force. Sacrifice, you can do when you are led, or you do it once in a while. But when it becomes covenant, it becomes a law, and it becomes a lifestyle. Most of the things that Moses enacted as laws did not begin as laws. They began as sacrifices that God turned into covenants. When the first fruit began, it was Abel that offered it in Genesis chapter 4. It was not anywhere. Nobody knew it. But through intimacy, he understood the language of spirits. That sacrifice is what moves the spirit and makes the spirit to give authority to men. And so the Bible said he took of the first fruit of all of his head and offered it to God. The question is, how did they know? And it became a law and a precedence in the whole of scripture. You read that, you'll find it everywhere until the New Testament. They say when you give the first fruit, the whole living is blessed. The whole loaf is blessed because of the first fruit. How did Abel know it? This is why the patriarchs operated power naturally. It's not to go and pray in a room and charge and come out and you are talking power. That is good. But if you need to charge all the time, you will become a charger. How many times will you charge in a day? So God teaches us things that we walk in to make this thing become a natural part of us. And so even when you speak casually, it carries energy because of the things you know. When you are not feeling it, you speak, it still carries energy because you know something. And so when a man begins to grow in God, God moves him from sacrifice to covenant. When it becomes covenant, it becomes a lifestyle. So you do it periodically. The first time you emptied your account is a sacrifice. But when you start emptying your account every 6 months or every 3 months, it becomes a law to you. It becomes a covenant. So a covenant is more powerful than a sacrifice. That's why when God is dealing with a man, he migrates from sacrifice and he enters covenant. In Psalm 89 verse 34, the Bible told us something shocking about covenant. And in Jeremiah 33 verse 18 to 20, he told us that the potency of a covenant is such that even if nature fails, covenant will still stand. That means covenant is superior to nature. Have you heard before that you know fit with nature? It says, unless the moon and the sun fail, before my covenant with my servant David will fail. And David will not have a man to sit upon his throne. That means covenant is stronger than nature. And so when God wants to make you a force that is superior to nature, one thing God teaches you is covenant. He will move you from sacrifice to covenant. And again, when you see men who wielded power in the Old Testament, they were men of covenant. Let me give you three of them quickly. Number one, we saw Job. Job had a covenant of purity. In Job 31, from verse 1, he said, I have sworn that my eyes will not look upon the virgins. My eyes. These eyes can never look upon the virgin. So that's a covenant of purity. It was not for Israel, it was for him.
we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 16. Paul said, necessity is laid upon me. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's a covenant of service. Are you seeing why they are so powerful? 2 Samuel 24:24. David, God forbid that I give a sacrifice to God that cost me nothing. That's a covenant of honor. Men don't just appear. They are mysteries that power them. And then Daniel 6:10-12. 3 times in a day, Daniel prayed facing Jerusalem. That's a covenant of prayer. Nobody just becomes. When you study the scripture, find out the secrets that power their lives. Every strong man in scripture lived by covenant. And then here we are, living porously and shouting that we are in the New Testament. The list of us is better than the saints of old. Have you done one of the things the saints of old did? Thank God for your doctrine, but where is your manifestation? You say you are better than the saints of old. Oga, Elijah called down fire when there was crisis. Sir, Joshua told the sun to stand still and the moon to stand still. Moses told the earth to open his mouth. In fact, God called Moses a god. So before you quote scriptures that have no manifestation to validate it, better find out if you are living your life in accordance to the patterns that the patriarchs of old set. You will find Christians, and you can bet it, more than 90% of them have no covenant powering their lives. They just do things as they come. And this is why our lives are porous, gullible, and weak. Because that's not how the first fathers lived. Every one of them had different covenants that sustained them and immortalized their existence. They began with sacrifice until it became a lifestyle. And so they sealed it with oath. There were some who told God, the day you don't hear my voice in prayer, that day will never come. And no matter what happens, if you like, throw them into the pit. Like Jeremiah, they will pray from there. Because they have gone past what God does. Even if God chooses not to bless them again, they will keep doing it. It has become a bond that keeps them connected and fused to God. Such are the men that God releases power to, and he doesn't look back. The doctrine of power. It begins with sacrifice, and then it journeys deeper into covenant. Check your life and find out, how many covenants do you have powering your existence? Do you know the forces that are willing to contend with your destiny? And then you live a porous life and you think, see, there are some battles of life that are orchestrated. There are some battles of life that are based on coincidences. And there are some battles of life that you walked into yourself. You will need so much more than discernment to survive. Imagine you are flying in an aircraft and the airline, they were careless and engine fails. There's no demon involved. It is the greed of man and the carelessness of man that caused it. What will deliver you from that event? You will need something that can defy nature, defy gravity. You will need something that can defy every existing force to bring you out. If you are discerning, you will pick it not to enter the plane. But there are many times you are not discerning. Have you not been to situations before where when you are in the midst of the crisis, you now remember, oh, the Holy Ghost told me not to do it. I've been there many times. If it was based on discernment alone, I would have died 10 times. But there are certain things that I failed in discernment in the midst of that crisis. He said, this one can't die. I have committed myself to him too many times. If he dies now, I'll be unrighteous. If he dies, I'll be unfaithful. Because sometimes it's when you engage a sacrifice, God spoke and say, you, what happens to men won't happen to you. And so if men are about to crash, something will now must happen. The plane crash will either be stopped or it will crash, you will come out. Whichever way, you cannot be destroyed because God has spoken. And so something greater than your faith will be working for you. This is how men become supernatural and invincible. There is a power that you don't get by revelation. There is a power that you don't get by prayer. There is a power that is equivalent to the sovereignty of God. A sacrifice and covenant that necessitates it. And finally, obedience. Yeah. love quoting scriptures. When we stand, we begin to talk about the mysteries of the angelic realm. When we finish talking about the mysteries of the angelic realm, we begin to talk about the mystery of creation. The intangible elements that were coupled together before the earth was meant to suspend in space. When we finish coupling that, we now enter the dynamics of motion. How grace flows. We show people that there are some grace that flow vertical, there are some grace that flow horizontal. This is what you do in order to navigate the vertical grace. When we finish talking all of that, then time comes for manifestation. You need 10,000 naira to rent an auditorium. The mystery of the foundation of the earth will not be sufficient to provide 10,000 naira. You now start wondering. Or somebody is dying in your family. And as people are dying, what you need is a commandment, but authority is not there to effect the change. Meanwhile, you understand the multilinear expressions and motions of grace. You can explain grace from vertical to horizontal dimension. Now, people are dying. They need grace. The person will stand and begin to talk about the operations of the healing anointing. He will explain what you need to do in order to put grace on handkerchief. He will explain what you need to do in order to blow grace through the wind. When you talk, the reason people are healed is because when you talk, something happens that your word bond with the air. And as the air travels in the direction of that person, the grace touches the person. You know all the intelligence. This person has cancer. And the revelation is tall, but manifestation is dwarfed. Because we talk, it don't work. Meanwhile, a father will just come and say, God loves us. Can you imagine what God did? He gave his son to die. As he's talking, you are sleeping. You say, what kind of gospel is this guy? What is he saying? When he finishes, he now says, Father, thank you for your love. All the cancers go. If you are deaf, yeah, open. I open. And then he says, if you have a testimony, half of the church will now stand up. You will now start repenting. What did he say that this is happening? They have authority. That man talking, maybe for 30 years, he has given tithe, he has never missed. Even when there was no food to eat. And so God is not seeing the tithe. God is seeing the loyalty. God is seeing the consistency. And as far as spiritual equation is concerned, that's maturity. You can argue the doctrine of tithing, but he has loyalty and consistency with God because he has not broken tithe. So what God is reading is different from what you are reading. Power. Power. If we must have power, there are things that must become consistent in our lives. Ask yourself, in the last 12 months, how many sacrificial things have you done? From your prayer to every other thing you have done, it has always been you. You. And you are hoping that God will give you power over the nations so that you will buy the nations as your property. All your prayer is me, I, and my family. And so how do you think God will give you the nation? And somebody else who doesn't pray half as you pray, but his altar is littered. People who can't pay school fees, he pays for them. People who can't eat, he gives. He doesn't need the intelligence that you have, but the results he will command will be many, many times greater than what you can command. I've seen people come out of the pit because of sacrifice. I've seen ladies marry because of sacrifice. I've seen people cured of terminal infirmities because of sacrifice. Nobody laid hands on them. But they came to a point where they said, no. Every child that can't pay school fees on this street, I will pay for that person. It's not even in church they did it. It's in their street. And they put everybody back to school. And God said, if there's somebody here who can put people back to school, why are you coming to heaven? Better remain on earth. Because we need many more children in school. There was no prayer. But sacrifice was a sufficient transaction. You want to wield power? You need sacrifice. You need covenant. And you need quick and prompt obedience. When God speaks, it's not everything your mind can rationalize. Every time you talk, remember that it's a conversation between a finite being and an infinite being. Every time you commune with God, don't forget that. A finite being interacting with what? An infinite being. There are not many things you can understand. That's why faith becomes the basis of relationship. So that even the ones you can't understand, you obey. And this is why the Bible said to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. 1 Samuel 15:22. The reason is simple. If you can't obey, even the sacrifice you will not do. Hallelujah. The way life interacts with men. Most times, the day of your glory will be the day you will be in your least element. Most times, the day you have your largest stage will be the day you will be in your least element. Somehow, that's how life functions. And for those of us who are traveling ministers, it happens to us very often. The other day, I was invited to preach somewhere. And Pastor Yi Adeboye was also a guest minister. And he was going to watch the session. And unfortunately, I came drained. I didn't know he was going to watch. If I knew, I would have canceled all my meeting and prayed in tongues for many hours. I didn't know. I thought, because my session is not relevant, I will sneak in and sneak out. That day, he was watching. And I came in tired and drained. Even my voice was gone. They now say, that is following them. I said, what? Following which meeting? Can you reschedule me for the last session? They said, no, he's the one taking the last session. I came out. I went in quickly to do an emergency charge-up. For where? My soul was flat. Hey! I came. I sat down. I was speaking in tongues. Lord, have mercy. Speaking in tongues, my soul was flat. 30 minutes before I came up, I went to the bathroom. My soul was still flat. I carried my phone, played some of the songs that charged me, put the speaker inside my ear for the sound to enter the hole of my ear and tell me, Abba, for where? My soul was flat. I came out like a lamb to be slaughtered. I came out, I knew I was finished. The largest stage of my life. How can I come unprepared? Meanwhile, I go for meetings where I'm talking to students. As I enter, everywhere is on fire. How can this large stage become the day I came unprepared? Meanwhile, this man will never remember me again. He will never ask of me, and he will never know I came. God. I shook my head and I said, Lord, forgive me. I have erred. And I went out. I sat down. As the seconds were ticking, my heart was beating. I wish they didn't give me the microphone. As the man went up to introduce me, my heart started beating fast. I put my hand on my chest and closed my eye. I know some of the people watching will say, Kai is about to ascend. It's about to. he's about to ascend. They didn't know I was praying for my life. Lord, how can I disappear from here? Lord, what can you do to cancel this meeting? What can you do to reschedule me? Let a senior minister just walk in so that they will apologize to me and say, please, this senior man has come. As they were introducing me, I had no choice. I just threw and collected the mic. The moment I handled the mic, a garment descended from heaven and mantled me. The first word I said, the place scattered. I couldn't preach. I spoke for 30 minutes and the place was brutal from the beginning to the end. The power of God was carrying people and throwing them to another row of the seat. A garment, I didn't know where it came from. Probably an angel was commanded to hug me. I said, Father, oh, may you not be left naked in the day of your manifestation. Do you know the worst part? You will think you will learn your lesson. I didn't. They now invited me again to minister in light of last week. I still came tired. When I came in, the person who welcomed me was the Vice Chancellor of Lagos State University. Dunsi was to minister before I came up. I said, why don't I minister before Dunsi? At least when I go, if Dunsi comes and the place is on fire, they will forget. Do you know how the angels work? They are not emotional. If you have it, the moment you start, they will move. If it's not with you, they may be moving with intensity. If the person who is operating and they are moving stops and you start, they will go and leave you there. My heart was beating. I said, Lord, I repent. I will never come for any meeting unprepared again. If you help me. I was begging. Dunsi now went off, scattered everywhere. Dunsi was ministering. The flames were, it was as if they set fire there. I said, God of mercy. Why don't they connect? They should have connected to God's servant now so that he will bless people. Let our time. You know the worst part? Before I came up, they now say, God's servant, please wait. Evangelist, College Ahead, we go on. What's the name now? Forgotten. Is it College Ahead? That is the most renowned evangelist in the RCCG order. From the 80s, packed crowd, open deaf ears, crippled, all kinds of things. When you speak about veteran evangelists in Nigeria, he's one of the topmost. They say he will come and minister before you. I say, why? How can my father be preaching before me? They say, no, don't worry, you are our guest. I say, no, I'm not a guest. I'm a son. Let me greet the people and introduce him. They say, no, we have a program. Oh! The man came and was articulating scripture. As he was talking, the hearts of men were burning. Oh! I say, Father, how did I come here again? Father, help me. Fire everywhere. When he finished, he now introduced me. Oh. Before I went up, they now said, Daddy is going to be broadcasting in 15 minutes. So, we reduce your time from 40 minutes to 15. So, I won't even have time to boot. I collected the microphone like a man going for the slaughter. And as I handled the microphone, process, and you know you are coming to meet a panel. Meanwhile, the day nobody cares, that's the day you wake up with inspiration. He said, God will remember your sacrifice and he will send you help from the sanctuary. There is a help that God sends from the sanctuary. It is men of sacrifice that understands that language. In the day when your stage is set, I tell you, many times you will not be ready. But there is a help. There is a help that navigates you from the sanctuary. Can you lift your hands tonight and repent every area of selfishness, every area you have undermined sacrifice? That is why you can't wield power. Ojo do dabu wedo, ohi mi niye, akata ki mi niye, ene do dabu. Oh, 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 oh
qualify. You qualify to enter. You qualify. And so now, hear the word of the Lord. I decree over you, your darkness is turned to light. Your darkness is turned to light. Your darkness is turned to light. In the name of Jesus. Fire. Somebody's life is about to change miraculously and overwhelmingly. I decree over you every advantage you need in order to be the head. Receive that advantage now in the name of Jesus. But hear the word of the Lord. He said he lifted the beggar from the dunghill. He establishes him among princes that he may inherit throne. I decree over you now, everything that looks like a pit for you is elevated to your platform of manifestation. In the name of Jesus, I decree over you the sovereignty of God that turns a nobody to a somebody. That dimension of power, it rests upon you now. It rests upon you now. It rests upon you now. In the name of Jesus. Everywhere your lack of preparation should disqualify you, I speak mercy. And I decree the hand of God. I decree the help of God from the sanctuary. And therefore, arise and shine. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. In the name of Jesus. All your life is hardship and disgrace. But hear the word of the Lord. Except I'm not sent of God, I decree that before this month is over, your story changes. There is a turnaround for you this month. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. The capacity. Hear this. The capacity to sacrifice, the capacity to walk in the covenant, the capacity to obey in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. I decree now, receive that capacity. Receive that capacity. Receive that capacity in the name of Jesus. Finally, tonight, the hand of God is upon you for preservation. None of you will be a victim in the course of this election. You will not be caught by a stray bullet. You will not be wrongly accused and made a scapegoat. You will not be involved in any form of violence if there should be. You will not be in the wrong place at the wrong time. The Lord will guide your steps. The Lord will punish you with discernment. And if there be a crisis around you, the Lord will exonerate you. In the name of Jesus, you are preserved. In the name of Jesus, you are kept. In the name of Jesus, you are protected. I decree over you, you are not a victim in the course of this election. You are not a scapegoat in the course of this election. You will not be stranded in the course of this election. Every manipulation, every curse, every negative utterance, designed to endanger, designed to victimize, I decree that you are exonerated in the name of the Lord Jesus. The country will not be emancipated while you are victimized. And so I speak over you from the office of my priesthood, and I decree you are lifted, you are protected, you are preserved in the name of Jesus. And because you are here, you will not weep. anybody connected to you who was targeted or designed or programmed to be a victim because of your connection by faith to the Spirit of God, I decree they are exonerated. I decree they are exonerated. I decree they are exonerated. In the name of Jesus. At the end of the election, we will not only celebrate the victory of the church, but you will also be present to celebrate. We will not only celebrate the victory of the church, you will also be present to celebrate. We will not only celebrate the victory of the church, you will also be present to celebrate. In the name of Jesus. Now hear this. Hear this. We are in a world of light and darkness. Make no mistakes about it. We are in a world of light and darkness. Men will not be coerced to do what they don't want or what they don't believe. But we are also aware that our level of understanding is different. There are many priorities, but none of them beats the kingdom priority. And so as you go out to exercise your franchise, make sure kingdom comes first. Before you are a Nigerian, you are a citizen of Zion. Your first nativity is not earth, it's heaven. And so as you go out there, make sure you don't stand with one who don't stand with the church. Let nobody deceive you with development, with infrastructural development, with security improvement. Let nobody deceive you with talk. Those of us in the church, we are not naive. And we also have the capacity to furnish development. We have the capacity to improve the economy. But there is one thing that only one has. That one thing that only one has is that he represents Jesus. And so in addition to every other thing that all the politicians are saying, the one that represents Jesus, that is the one you stand with, because we are of a kingdom. They may call it religious bigotry, but we know better. We don't hear what the media says. We hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And we know the agenda of darkness to plunder the church and to wreak havoc on the church. And so this time around, it's kingdom versus kingdom. It's light versus darkness. And God forbid that I stand with the one who does not stand where Jesus stands. I know there may be a deception. If my candidate doesn't win, I won't survive. It's not men that keeps you. It's God that keeps you. It's not politics that makes you survive. It's God that makes you survive. And so when your personal interest stands side by side with the interest of the kingdom, if you are a mature Christian, you choose kingdom first. He said, even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, fear no evil. He said, God will supply your need. He said, your cup will run over. Don't vote selfishly. Vote as a mature believer and vote as a kingdom agent. I don't know what kingdom means to you, but I know one who wins and God's agenda will thrive. And if you don't have a sign, the one who bears the name of the kingdom is a sign to everyone who is a kingdom. Because your first conviction, your first value, and your first essence is reflected in the name that you allow yourself to be called. And a man who is called in the order of the kingdom. Somebody give the Lord a shout! Can I tell you something? Nigeria will not change overnight. We know there will be positive change. But we are also aware that all they are saying now, they've said it 10 years before. They've said it 20 years before. And we have been naive to follow intelligent manifesto as against the kingdom of God. And we have seen many die. We have seen churches burnt. We have seen God's agenda marginalized. If we have not learned anything, the last dispensation taught us well. Everybody was deceived that corruption will be fought. How much of it has been fought now? Almost everybody was deceived. And they told us lofty things. But if there is anything that stood out, it was death. It was the burning of churches. And it was the fact that Christians were not given a place in government. For the first time, you have a government where more than 80% are not from the kingdom of God. And then you want to be naive again, listening to manifesto. No. I stand with the kingdom. I stand with the man of God. I stand with the one that bears the name of the kingdom of God. One of the fathers was speaking and he said, the one that his name is in the Bible voting. Can I shock you? I don't know what they will do because they are men. I don't know what they will do because they are what? They are men. And I also know the throne they are going to ascend, they are princes there. So I'm not just voting because of competence. All of them have a measure of competence. In fact, you can even argue their track record. Because some are effective in one area and others are effective in the other area. So their track records, they all have certain levels of results. But if there is one thing that I can't argue about, is that I know that one honors the name of Jesus. Is that I know that one will stand for the agenda of the kingdom. Is that I know that one is not just competent. He does not just have a track record of righteousness. He does not just have economic prowess and power to effect change. But if he's there, the Christian will have a voice. We saw thousands of Christians burned, killed, and maimed. We saw unnecessary audacity of the people of the other religion. Suddenly, because they had the scepter of government, we will not be naive. This is not religious bigotry. This is what we believe. I know one, there are things he cannot do because he serves the God that I serve. And so I stand with light. And if you are a kingdom agent, you will leave your personal ambition and do that which favors the kingdom of God. Because we are in the last days. I tell you, most people who are voting their appetite, they will regret in the first year. They will not only be disappointed, they will be betrayed. And most of them will be victimized. Most of them will be victimized. But the Lord shall keep his own. The jealousy of God shall preserve his own. You are at that point where you too are a stakeholder. Use your stake well. Because God will use it as a basis of assessing your loyalty and commitment to that which pertains to the kingdom of God. Because this is church, I'm not going to go down to talk track record or analyze politics, government, or human relationship. But even if you talk value, we know the difference is clear. The difference is clear. Somebody is talking, they say, go and check my record. And since they say, check my record, nobody has checked and come back with a contrary opinion. And somebody else is trying to cover up a record that is not only kingdom that validates it, that proves that it's a thief. Even what system show it. And then the Christian is naive talking. We must raise kingdom citizens. The problem we have in this country is that most churches and Christians are not kingdom oriented. That's why we are divided. There is no point of consensus. When these people talk, they don't care about anything. They first of all care who advances what they believe. Because that's why they live. That's more important to them. And we are not saying the one that comes from light does not have the credentials. He has demonstrated it again and again and again. And in fact, there's no basis of comparison. And so as you exercise your franchise on Saturday, think about Jesus. Think about the church. Think about your brothers and sisters that call upon the name of the Lord. Lift your hands toward heaven. Vote value, vote capacity, vote integrity, vote truthfulness, vote verifiable track record, and over and above that, vote the one that stands where your kingdom stands.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus trust Peter. Why won't you trust him? Give the Lord a big hand.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.